your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Space.
Time.
Rocks. Dust, sand, and so much cool space stuff. It is Spaced Out with Josh Oraki on the phone line. How are you right now, Josh?
I'm good. How are you too?
We are doing wonderfully. It is nice and sunny outside, and it's sort of that mid-temperature, so I'm really loving it.
You're holding it. Yeah, nice and clear tonight, actually.
Yes.
The telescope's out.
Yep. Yeah. Is there anything special happening in the skies tonight?
We've got a really bright moon at the moment, so that's always a nice thing to watch. I think it's a full moon Friday, Saturday, so that's always a good thing to watch when it's sunrising.
Yeah. I saw all the moon hanging about in the sky at about 4 o'clock yesterday. That was always,
really?
It's always cool to see.
I'd be pretty concerning if the moon wasn't there.
I love a day moon. Also, it's just cool being like, you know, seeing the moon and be like, yep, we just had four people there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That actually is crazy.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Well, you are joining this afternoon to talk about some of the latest in space. So, Smashton, you've got the list up. Why don't you kick us off?
Indeed, Hubble has created, goodness gracious. Hubble celebrated 36 years in orbit with a brand new image. Tell us about that.
Yeah, happy birthday to Hubble. It's 36 years in orbit, which is, you know, bloody amazing that you've been in space for that long, still taking these amazing photos. But NASA, they do this every year for its birthday. They'll often revisit some of the older photos that Hubble took back in the 90s and the 2000s. They'll relook at them, release new images, and a gorgeous image that's part of a space called the Trifid Nebula.
Yeah.
I kind of like to call it the unicorn. It looks like a unicorn, essentially, like with a little pointy bit on it. But just a gorgeous image. It's a nice reminder that, you know, Hubble is still going strong after 36 years in space, which is amazing.
Tell us a bit about what's different from this photo compared to previous photos that Hubble's taken.
One of the main things is that, you know, since Hubble launched, they've updated it over time and they had these servicing missions. So, you know, the actual images, the quality and the optics got better over time. So we can see those direct changes. But one of the, you know, more cooler things is that the actual observational astronomy, you know, because it's 36 years of observing, you know, some things over that time period, we can actually see and, you know, track changes within a nebula or a star-forming region. And these, you know, really small changes in the photo that to us we just, you know, perceive as like, oh, the clouds moved, you know, a couple pixels. But in reality, that could be, you know, millions and millions of kilometers moving through space. And you can actually track things in near real time. So it's just kind of cool to see the evolution of not only the quality of images, but the actual astronomy that's going on in those, you know, those images.
Mm. It always amazes me with NASA how long their hardware lasts. It's sort of same story with the Mars rovers as well.
Oh, it's just amazing. I mean, I kind of wish NASA like engineered like phones or cars or something, because they would probably just last for like 50 years and you'd never need to replace the battery.
Yeah. How long was Hubble supposed to last for?
It had like a 10-year lifespan goal. I mean, they usually give them 5 to 10 years of operational lifetime.
And it's 36.
The thing with Hubble is because it was designed to be service, so they had missions where they went up and had people repairing it. Every time, you know, there was extending its life by another 5-10 years. So I'd like to hope that it has another, you know, 5-10 years left in it. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
And sort of like space mechanics going up to fix it. That's incredible.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And Hubble's as Hubble celebrates its 36th birthday, we also have a friend to join it in orbit.
Yeah, so this is it's NASA's next telescope. I feel like this is a really underrated story. I feel like no one is really aware that this is going up very soon. NASA's kind of direct replacement for Hubble, which is called Roman Space Telescope, is finished. Basically, NASA said it's done. We're actually just under a year ahead of schedule. We're under budget, which is also kind of unheard of for NASA. They usually, you know, massively over budget and delayed. But they've said it's done. So they've said, you know, we're going to try and launch this in September. And Roman is a direct replacement for Hubble.
Mm-hmm.
So it observes in visible light, same as Hubble. And it has a resolution, which is going to be really similar to Hubble.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a field of view, basically 100 times bigger. So it can essentially do what Hubble does, but on a scale 100 times better,
yep.
which is just amazing. So, you know, it can survey huge swaths of sky, and it would take, you know, maybe a year where it was, it would probably take Hubble decades to do that same amount of observation.
Wow.
James Webb Telescope is also up there. What is the difference between these two telescopes?
Yeah, so they complement each other, but the main difference is that Hubble and Roman, they're observing invisible light. Mm. So that's mostly the light that, you know, that we see, that our eyes perceive.
Yeah.
James Webb observes in the infrared spectrum, so that is beyond what we can see, but that allows us to study kind of really deep and far away objects in space.
Mm.
But it's, yeah, some places they overlap, but they kind of complement each other, but sometimes it's better to observe things in visible light, depending on what you're looking at. And then other times it's better to use infrared. So they're kind of similar in their hardware, but they're built for very different things.
Mm. Moving on, down to sort of more of an Earth level, we've got some big rocket news.
Yeah, we had the first successful refly of one of these new reusable rocket boosters that we've been seeing over the last few years. And this is by Blue Origin. So they've been building a very, very big rocket called New Glenn, which has launched a few times. And this giant booster, it's like almost 100 metres tall. They reflew it and they landed it successfully for the first time. So it's their first reuse of this rocket booster, which, you know, it's always a step in the right direction when you can actually reuse rockets instead yeah. of throwing them into the ocean.
Blue Origin's one of the contractors for Artemis 3, I believe. Is this all to do with their moon ambitions?
Yeah. And you say Blue Origin, they're contracted to build the lunar lander for Artemis 3 and Artemis 4. And, you know, the thing about space exploration is it's just really expensive. You know, one of the biggest costs of space is actually just sending things to space. So, you know, with reusability in rockets, that drastically brings down the cost of launching. If you don't have to spend as much launching, you can spend more on the things you are launching. It just really allows them to have more money for the development of those landers. So, it's definitely connected.
Mm.
I think that they're actually going to try and launch their first prototype of this lunar lander, I think, later in the year. So, yeah, that's directly tied to the Artemis success. So, hopefully they can get that off the ground this year and then next year launch it with a crew, hopefully.
Yeah.
Is there stuff sort of in the future that could also be reusable for different launches?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the hardest things is you want to reuse every part of a rocket. Like, the analogy we use is, like, you imagine if you, like, got on a plane and you flew to Wellington and then they got all the people out of the plane and then they just threw the plane out, you know? Obviously, they're not going to do that because it would be extremely expensive. You can imagine how much, like, you know, a passenger would pay if that was the case. So reusability is paramount, and you want to reuse as much of a rocket, you know. We've kind of got down reusing the first stage, so that's the biggest part of the rocket, but, you know, we haven't quite got how to reuse the second stage, the upper parts, the fairings, you know, there are all these different components that can, you know, connected to the cost of sending things, and as long as we can bring those things down and make them reusable, pretty much every part of a rocket, eventually, you're going to want to be able to reuse. So hopefully, you know, these advancements in engineering and all that is going to bring that cost down, because the cheaper things are, the more things we can send to space and the more things we can build, send to other planets and, you know, do all that exploring stuff.
SpaceX is also famous for their reusable rockets, and Blue Origins sort of swooped in a little bit later because they were doing a lot of space tourism, I guess.
Mm, yeah.
Is this sort of the start of a potential corporate space race?
The private sector is really, really integrated now with, you know, companies like NASA, who is, you know, a government organization. But, you know, they found that it's a lot better and cheaper and faster to actually contract to companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin because, you know, NASA's rockets, for example, so the SLS rocket they used for Artemis, you know, Artemis was incredibly successful, Artemis 2, but that rocket is so bloody expensive and it costs billions of dollars and it's not reusable, you know? So if NASA can actually say, hey, instead of us spending, you know, $3 billion on one of our rockets, we could just pay SpaceX, Blue Origin, we could pay them, you know, $200 million, you know, an estimate, send the same payloads to space. So, of course, you're going to choose the more affordable option because it allows you to then send more things. So you do have two private companies kind of competing to get the edge. I guess it is a bit of a modern space race between not just space agencies but private companies because, like you say, you know, both SpaceX and Blue Origin are contracted to make a lunar lander, and NASA has essentially said, well, whoever does it first is going to get the contract, and they're going to land people on the moon. So, you know, it's in both of their both of those companies' benefits to actually be the first.
Mm. And then moving locally at Te Whatu Stardome, there's a few events coming up.
Yeah, we've I keep forgetting. It's April's almost over. We've got May very soon.
Scary.
But we've got our May the 4th event, which we do every year, our annual Star Wars celebration, which is always a super fun time.
Yep.
I think it's on a Monday, May the 4th. Yeah, we do shows. We visit the planets of Star Wars.
Mm.
People dress up. It's really cool. We have prizes for, you know, the best dressed on the night. Super, super fun.
Yeah.
And they usually sell out too. So, yeah, get tickets for that if you want. It's definitely, definitely a fun time, yeah.
Yeah. What's your favourite Star Wars movie?
Ooh. Serious questions now.
Oh, Revenge. I think Revenge, probably.
Revenge. Okay, you're a prequel enjoyer.
Hot take, Phantom Menace for me.
You've just defended...
I think they all have their merits. I feel like no matter the movie you say, someone's going to go, oh, really? But, yeah, I think they all fill their own holes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss with us today?
What else do we have? Oh, we also have a... we played a really awesome show. It was a few years ago called Zizzy. It was this kind of super trippy music experience, audio-visual. And we're bringing it back for New Zealand Music Month. So basically every Friday in May, we're going to have Zizzy back. So, yeah, if you're into, like, Pink Floyd or the psychedelic mixtape, which we have here, this is a really cool addition. It's one of my favorite visual shows. It's just... Buzzy is the only word I could use to describe it. So it's a real trip if you're into all of that stuff.
Awesome. Well, that was Spaced Out with Josh joining us from the Stardome. Thank you so much for joining us, Josh, this afternoon.
No worries. Speak to you in a few weeks.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.